to the book of Psalms. We've been in Psalms for quite a while. And let us turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. And we have been learning a lot. And this is a psalm, one of the great psalms of confidence in God, Psalm 27. You've probably read it many times, and you probably have sung it many times. But let's read it now. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Father, we thank you for this confidence that comes from your word. We shouldn't fear anyone or anything. Oh, please open, Father, the eyes of our hearts to see Jesus, our rock and our salvation, our refuge, our light, our everything. And Father, illuminate our hearts and minds to be able to listen. Open the eyes not only of our heart, but our ears, so we can hear what the Spirit says to us, and illuminating and convicting us and empowering us to live in power, not in fear, but in might for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Now, what are you afraid of? Is your name Alfredo? And you afraid of everything? What are you afraid of? Afraid of the dark? Afraid of the boogeyman? Are you afraid that there are monsters under your bed when you go to bed at night? I'll tell you something. There was a man who was went to his therapist every week, and his therapist asked him, well, how are you doing? Because he was afraid there were actual monsters when he went to sleep under his bed. And he said, I still had a problem. Week after week, I still had the problem. So he decided to go to another therapist. He went to another therapist after all these years, came back after 1 week at the other therapist, and he says, how did the other doctor do? He said, did fine. I'm cured. He said, well, what did he tell you? What was the cure? He said, he told me to saw the legs off my bed. No more monsters under my bed. I'm cured. What are you afraid of? And what's your solution? And then if you go home tonight or this evening and saw the legs off your bed, you're maybe ruining some very good furniture. What are you afraid of? The dark? The boogeyman? Are you afraid of getting cancer? You see, at the big C? Real possibility. Are you afraid of the death of a loved one? Maybe losing your mate or losing your child. And perhaps maybe you have lost a child or a mate. David had all kinds of threats during his life. As a young teenage boy, he had the threat of the bear and the lion. As a teenager, in his late teens, he had the threat of Goliath. As he grew older, he had to be anointed as king, been anointed as king. He had the threat of Saul, who was out to kill him. This psalm was written in the context of a lifetime of threats. As he became a father, one of his sons tried to kill him. He had traitors in his own company. He had foreign nations trying to come in and destroy him as king and his nation. Yet we read in verse 1 what he said. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Whom are you afraid of? Where did his confidence come from? I believe that David's confidence came from facing and embracing his greatest fear. I'm going to repeat that. I believe that David's confidence came from facing and embracing his greatest fear. And what was his greatest fear? And so the question to you today, as David posed it in verse 1, of whom shall I be afraid? So what should you be afraid of? What should you fear? What is the greatest threat to your life? I submit to you that God should be your greatest fear. You say, Pastor, you're saying I should be afraid of God. If you don't know Him as your Savior, He is your greatest enemy. He is your greatest threat. The greatest fear is from our sinfulness, having one day, even now, to face the holy, living God. It's a fearful thing, the scripture says, to fall into the hands of God. Is the fear and the threats in your life greater than God? I don't think so. I believe that once you face your fear, your greatest fear of God, I submit to you that once you realize, because some of you listening may not realize that you're in danger, and that you have the biggest threat in the universe hanging over your head, and that is God Himself. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Do you live in that fear? You ought to. What do you fear? This is what you ought to fear. And once you fear and embrace God, there's no thing created that you should fear. What can compare to God? What can kill your body and your soul? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So here's my point. This is what I want you to get today. Fear and trust in God. He is our light, our salvation, and stronghold. Fear. And let that fear be turned to trust. For once you trust Him, you don't have to fear Him or anything else ever, ever again. Did you get that? Fear and then turn and trust God. And let Him forgive your sins. Let Jesus, the blood of Jesus, reconcile you to your greatest enemy and your greatest threat. Let Him bring you to the Father. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can do that. And once you realize, now I'm saved. Now I'm forgiven. Now my destiny is sealed for heaven. There is no one and nothing that can take that from you. And you will see all the other things as little things. Right? If you bought an airline ticket and you're going from here to L.A., that airline guarantees your safe arrival at the other end unless they need your seat. But they guarantee that. You got your ticket. Let me tell you, Jesus is your ticket. And on that flight, you're not worried about the stewardess who spilled the coffee in your lap. That's not a big concern to you because you're on that flight. Or you just got these chintzy peanuts and you didn't get a sandwich. That's not what you're not worried about any of that. You're not worried that you had to stand in line to get to the toilet. An airline bathroom. You try to go to the bathroom and you're big and tall as I am in an airline. It's hard. But you're not worried about that because you know you're going to L.A. Or you go to the Bahamas because they say it's what? It's better in the Bahamas. You're thinking of the sandy beach. You're thinking of all the promises of joy and happiness, right? Same thing. I'm thinking about what God has prepared for me. I'm thinking about that the present troubles, Romans 8, are not worthy to be compared. They're tributary. They're trivial with the glory that's going to be revealed for me. All right? So I don't fear this stuff. And sometimes we can get distracted about the little things. They say, don't sweat the little things. When you're saved, when you got the big thing taken care of, and that God loves you, everything's a little thing. You mean losing my job, getting sick? Yeah, it's a little thing, because it's not worthy by comparison to be, right, compared. See, what do you fear? What you fear is where your faith is. You believe that losing your job, you believe that blah, 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 losing your life. My wife and I were watching, we like this Bush people, right, from Alaska. Y'all ever watch that? This family that lives out there? Well, last night, we changed the channel because we didn't want to see it. It was unpleasant. But the wife, the mother, has cancer. And it's sad. And we just didn't feel like looking at anything sad last night. And there he was by her bedside, holding her hand. They had gone to their first round of chemo. That's real. That's real. That's the love of his life. You see, I can understand that. But our focus is on something bigger. Our focus is something greater. Even in the face of death, that won't separate us from the love of God. And he's got something better for us. What do you fear? What do you worry about? I say to you, fear, but trust in God. Fear God, not these things. For he's our deliverer. He's our light. He's our salvation, our stronghold. Fear and trust in God. Verse 1. The Lord is my light. He's my light. My salvation. My stronghold. When he says God is his light, he is saying that's his name. Now, why is the name so important? In going through reading the Word and meditating on the Word of the last several weeks and previous sermons, we came to understand that God's name is His Word. He is His Word. That's why He is called the Word, because His name describes who He is and what He does. And that's who He is. That's why you can believe Him, because He will keep what? His Word. And His Word and His name shall never perish. Everything else will perish, but not Him, nor His Word. And if His Word tells me that He is my light, that will never change. He is my light in the midst of the darkness of trials. I don't have to fear these dark trials. I don't have to fear the eclipse that's coming Monday. I don't have to fear that. Though the sun loses its light, Jesus cannot lose his light. He cannot be eclipsed even in my life. And sometimes the problems become an eclipse. They eclipse in my life and I don't see Jesus. I just see my problems of darkness. But by faith, I comprehend him. By faith, I see that behind the darkness and greater than the darkness is the sun. If you know what I mean. The day star. The light. That is mine. And I am his. Right? He's the light of my life. Dispelling all the darkness. Even though all around I see darkness. In David's life, he said all these problems. And all around him there was darkness. He was hiding in caves. Darkness. But he says, the Lord is my light. That's who he is. It's not just that he has light. God doesn't have a flashlight with ever-ready batteries. He does not. He is light. He is life and light and energy and power. It's self-emanating. Just comes out of Him. It's who He is. Cannot be taken from Him. It is interesting when we sing the song from time to time, at least in the past song, the name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. See, it's His name. It's what He is. And these are metaphors. These are blah, blah, blah. For His characteristics of light and strength and salvation. Psalm 104 says He wraps Himself in light. Right? In John, 1 John 1, 5 says, God is light. John says, He is light. See, we can put our trust in Him because He's our light when there's darkness in our lives. It means He's our guide through the storms. In every aspect of our life, trust Him so you don't have to be in fear of anything else because you learn to fear Him, to be in awe of Him. Everything else is peanuts. Right? Listen, put your trust in Him as your light, as His word. In the dark times, it'll dispel the darkness. Light guides us, doesn't it? Guides us to Him. You got a lighthouse, right, in the storm in the sea? You know where they have those? Because there are storms in the sea. But they have that lighthouse lifted way high so the captain of the ship can see and be guided to safety. Can be spared. Can be delivered. Verse 2 says that He is my salvation. I'm sorry, verse 1. He is my salvation. Why do they name Him Jesus? Joshua. Because that's what He is. He doesn't have salvation. He doesn't give us salvation. He gives us Himself. And that's salvation. That's what His name means. Deliverer. Salvation. Now, David, obviously, his enemies are all around. And he looked to God as his deliverer. But the big deliverer, the big deliverance, I should say, is from sin and death and Satan. And we look for God to deliver us out of any trouble. So when you're in trouble, you say, how am I going to get out of this? Think about how you got out of it. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? I'm in it. Now, you're out of it. Why? Because God has delivered you, right? Through trusting in Jesus. If He got you out of the big one, the wrath of God, can He take care of this little one? Right? And we ought to start thanking Him for that deliverance. Threats and worry, they can't prosper. No weapon, right? We sang that, right? No weapon formed against us can prosper. All the threats and the worries, they will fail. Why? Because light and salvation is in us. And stronghold, it's in us. You ever think about that? Salvation is in us. Light is in us. You say, you're the light of the world. Why? Because He's in us. Salvation is in us. 2 Peter 1, you know what it says. God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Where is that spirit residing? Where is it? On the inside of you. For light is in you. Deliverance is in you. Salvation is in you. Right? Stronghold is in you. Right? Who's that? Jesus. He lives in us. By the power of the Holy Spirit. We also have been told that greater, right, is He that is in us than He who is in the world. So nothing in this world cannot be overcome because greater is He. Where does He live? In us. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? What do we have to fear? I have to preach to myself. I have to meditate. We're talking about meditation. I have to meditate last week, thinking deeply on the Word of God, hiding it in our hearts so that when fear comes, when the enemy comes, whether it's a spiritual enemy or a physical enemy, we do not have to be afraid. We are prepared, for we have meditated on the truth that God is our light, that He is our salvation, that He is our stronghold. You know what a stronghold is? It's security. It's like a fortress. We sang the song. A mighty fortress is Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas. I used to work there. It was a fort established back in the 1800s. Or here in Atlanta, there's Fort what? I forgot. But in Georgia, there's Fort Benning, Georgia. Is that where you got to run for your safety? Is that where you got to run? No. No, you don't. For the Lord is our stronghold. Isn't that wonderful? Run to Him. Whenever you're afraid, run to Him. And He's right there. And He is not made of flesh or blood or wood or any created thing. He is God. He is ever living, all powerful. He is our shelter. It is interesting that salvation and deliverance and other things, stronghold, are mentioned throughout other scriptures. In Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into, and they're saved." Look at Psalm 28:7-8. You see these things repeated. It says, in verse 7 of Psalm 28, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I'm helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to Him in song." There's that connection between thanksgiving and that sense of peace and joy. And we'll talk about that more. But let's get into it right now. But I want to read this quote from a really good Reformed minister. His name is John Stott. He said this of light, salvation, and stronghold fortress here in his commentary on Psalm 27. He said this: "The Lord is my light to guide me, my salvation to deliver me, and the stronghold of my life in whom I take refuge." Three well-rounded, all-compassing blessings that our God gives to us in a total package, a total security package in Jesus Christ. Now, we talk about package deals. You know, you get this TV, in Xfinity, you get a package deal, and the store has a package deal. You buy this, you get the other. Listen, when we accept Jesus, it's a package deal. We get the Father, we get the Son, and we get the Holy Spirit. We get light, right? We get deliverance, we get salvation, and we get safety and the refuge of our mighty fortress who is our God. Let's go on. Verse 4. I'm going to drop down to I'll read the rest of the verses, and especially 4. He says, "Whom shall I be afraid?" Verse 2. "When evil men advanced against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall." Hey. No weapon form. No. "Greater is He that is in us." Though an army, not just some evil men and enemies. You got a whole army. Got a whole bunch of folks. Hey, they're mad at God. Because we got a majority of one. And it's God, our Lord. "Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask, and this is what I seek." And here's the key. This is where our heart and our mind need to be. "One thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Yes, he's talking about the presence of God. Yes, he's talking about heaven too. But he's talking about now. We are gathered here together. And there is a mystery in worshiping together in the church. There's a mystery of the work of the Holy Spirit that we come together each week to worship the Lord. You can't get the same thing at heaven. I mean, at home. Yeah, in heaven you can. You have the congregation up there too. But you can't get it this stirring of the faith, this strengthening by the Word. There's something that God has ordained to take place in a church service that you cannot get by yourself. And he desired to be in the house of the Lord. I hope you do. All the days of my life, and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high on a rock. Who's that rock? Jesus. Jesus. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy, and I will sing and make music to the Lord. And one of the ways we sing, one of the ways we praise and make music to the Lord is through thanksgiving. Through thanksgiving. It's so easy to get our focus in times of trouble and distress off of God. When I look at the worship of Israel, whenever they faced a mighty trial or difficulty, they start recounting what the Lord had done for them. They would especially recount the deliverance, he's our deliverer, out of Egypt, and how he brought them through the Red Sea, how he broke Pharaoh's army, blah, blah, blah. And they would start thanking God for what he's done in the past. We need to do that too. We need to count them all. The times we're in trouble and God delivered us. You need to count all of the blessings that God has done for you. This will focus your mind and heart back where it needs to be, off the enemy, off the difficulties, off the trials, all the sickness, off the loss, off the future threats, and put it where it needs to be, on God, who is our rock and who is our salvation. Would you turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said this, Philippians 4. And let's read in verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Yeah, even in times of trouble. Why? Because he's our light. He's our salvation. And he's our fortress. Don't rejoice in your trials. You say, how do I rejoice in my trials? Like me sometimes, by whining. And whining, not praising. By complaining. By being in fear. Philippians 4. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, even in trials and difficulties. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness, let your self-control, let your peace be evident to all. The Lord is near, he's in us. Do not be anxious, do not be fearful, I will add, about anything. Whether it's health, loss of a loved one, job, whatever. Anything. What does anything include? Everything. But in everything, he says, by prayer and petition, with what? Thanksgiving. Present your request to God. I want you to listen to a song entitled Count It All. Count It All. By the J.J. Weeks Band. Then I'll be back to conclude.
Count your blessings when fear is screaming out. Every blessing, great and small, every breath, every step we walk, is a gift we don't deserve from a love we cannot earn. There's still a song to sing, even in our deepest need. The valleys low and mountains tall, take a breath and count them all, count them all, count them all. Count them all, count them all. Count your blessings, even when it seems dark. Count your blessings, even with a hurting heart. Count your blessings, and remember who you are. You gotta remember who you are now. Every blessing, great and small, every breath, every step we walk, is a gift we don't deserve from a love we cannot earn. There's still a song to sing, even in the deepest need. Valleys low and mountains tall, take a breath and count them all. Gain with every whisper thing. Oh, the joy that comes alive. Oh, the peace that won't subside. When everything around you shakes, and still you say, every blessing, great and small, every step we walk, is a gift we don't deserve from a love we cannot.
Great and small, count them all. Whom shall you fear? Whom shall you fear? No one. God has become our light, our salvation, and our stronghold. He has redeemed us from the most fearful thing of all. That is our sins, and the penalty of those sins, the wrath of God. And He's reconciled us to Almighty God. What shall you fear? Nothing. All the promises that He has made and everything that He has given to us in Christ are ours. Let us put our trust in the One who is our light and our salvation and our stronghold. Father, we thank You for loving us so much to be our light. You dwell in unapproachable light. You loved us so much, not only to give us Your Son, but allowing Him and sending Him to live in us through the Holy Spirit, being our light and our salvation and strength. Help us to walk in boldness and confidence in the face of fear. For You are near. You live in us with resurrection power. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.